Tonight, NDC MPs accused the MPP colleagues of causing financial loss to the state after the MPP group failed to show up at an emergency sitting they had requested.
I am deeply worried and deeply concerned that the very people that requested for Parliament to be recalled failed to show up. Clearly, what we are seeing here is an abuse of the Constitution and the standing orders of Ghana's Parliament. The NPP minority caucus have indeed caused financial loss to the state.
Plus, Alexander Feomakin accusing Speaker of Parliament Alban Bagbin of supervising NDC chaos and lawlessness in Parliament after the NDC MPs took the majority side of the House, even as some of his colleagues pushed to have the Speaker cited for contempt.
What Mr. Speaker did today amounts to supervising chaos and bringing the image of democracy to disrepute.
Well, we will cite you for contempt. We will cite the Speaker for contempt. Watch this face.
We have details of another chaotic disruption in Parliament as the Speaker once again suspends the House indefinitely on the very day MPs returned following a similar crisis just 2 weeks ago.
The signatories who made the request have not shown up, and therefore matters that they wanted us to handle, which are admitted for the consideration of the business committee, are not on the order paper, and in fact there's no order paper for today.
Well, would be speaking to lawyers and both sides of the House to understand what really is at play here. This is Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Well, tonight's another day of chaos in Parliament as the opposition NDC in the House say their colleagues on the MPP side have caused financial loss to the state following events today in Parliament that has led to an indefinite adjournment of the House. Now, the MPP MPs failed to show up on the floor of the House for an emergency sitting they had requested the Speaker of Parliament to convene. The Speaker complied with the constitutional demand of the MPP group, but not a single MPP MP was on the floor at the time the Speaker was forced to adjourn the House. Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kweku Asante has been in Parliament all day and joins us with details. Kweku, let's start with the early morning up until the time the Speaker walked into the chamber. What happened?
So, Brace, some NDC MPs, numbering about 10, were in Parliament very early, between 6 and 7.30. A number of them had already arrived, waiting for the Marshal to Parliament to open the gates to the chamber, the makeshift chamber at the Accra International Conference Centre Dome. Up until 8 a.m. when the chamber was opened, only NDC MPs were present. And in fact, at the time the doors were open at 8 a.m., there were about 40, and they zoomed right into the chamber and took the right-hand side of the Speaker, the majority side. The same thing they did 2 weeks ago when the Speaker of Parliament indefinitely adjourned the House. They stayed there and the numbers kept growing up until about 9:30, almost 10 o'clock, when the Speaker of Parliament's convoy arrived to be at his lobby. The NDC MP's numbers had grown and they had filled the majority side in Parliament. They say that they are the majority in the House and they are going to take that side. Some NPP MPs, I think in particular one, Honorable Samuel Atatia, walked into the chamber at the time and was going to take a seat but realized that the NDC MPs are taking that side. He didn't see any of the NPP colleagues in the chamber, so he left. He went out, we tried to speak to him, and he said that he was going to get some information from his leadership. So the Speaker of Parliament, having arrived in his lobby, invited the leaders for what is usually the conclave meeting, the pre-sitting meeting. Obviously, Alexander Feomakin, the leader of the NPP group, was not around. And so it was only the NDC MPs who went there. Briefly, they came back. And then the Speaker of Parliament took his chair. When the Speaker took his chair, one side of the House was completely empty. That is the left-hand side pews. That is ordinarily reserved for the minority. It was empty because the NDC, who used to occupy that side, have moved to go and occupy the right-hand side of the Speaker. When the Speaker of Parliament took his chair, he zoomed right into the prayer. They prayed. And then he zoomed to give a statement of a sort to say that he had invited Parliament because 15% of NPP MPs had requested this sitting, but none of them were on the floor for which reason. He was doing the same thing he did 2 weeks ago, indefinitely adjourning the House. Listen to the Speaker on the floor.
Honourable members, had under the dictates of the provisions of the Constitution to issue the summons for you to be here today. And are duly complied with the constitutional provision and got the administration to get the summons published to the notice of all of you. Unfortunately, the signatories who made the request have not shown up, and therefore matters that they wanted us to handle, which are admitted for the consideration of the business committee, are not on the order paper, and in fact there's no order paper for today because the business committee could not meet due to the absence of the people who requested for the recall. And as you can see, one side of the house is completely empty. In view of this, we have, as usual, got a quorum to sit, but we have no business before us to transact, because the business committee, as you know, they prepare a report, and this report is adopted by the House as business agreed by the House to transact during the course of the week. In the absence of that, there is no other authority that can put business before you which you have not adopted to transact. In view of the failure of the business committee to sit as a result of the refusal of those who requested for the recall to show up, we are compelled to once again adjourn the sitting of the House. Knowing the challenges we are facing, it is not advisable to be adjourning from day to day. And so I'll proceed once more to adjourn the meeting indefinitely. And the meeting, this extraordinary meeting, is accordingly adjourned.
Well, so that was the conclusion the Speaker arrived at. Now, after this, the NDC group accused the MPP side of causing financial loss to the state. What was the basis that they based on to draw this conclusion of theirs?
Well, right after the Speaker banged the gavel, Dr. Kesi Latofosin and his other colleagues in leadership on the NDC side addressed the press right outside the entrance of the chamber. And they say that it's incongruous that the NPP MPs will request for an extraordinary sitting to do urgent government business and actually fail to turn up or actually get the business committee, which is chaired by Lesan Afenyo-Makin, to even sit and program the business for the day and subsequent days. According to Dr. Kassel Atufosin, the MPP group have caused financial loss to the state and are not simply serious about government business.
We are extremely disappointed in the MPP minority caucus for first triggering a recall of parliament under Article 1123 and Order 53. Of our standing orders and failed to show up. Two, we left our busy schedule, suspended our campaigns and reported to duty this morning only to see that the MPP members of parliament who actually recalled parliament, we noticed that they failed to show up. I am deeply worried and deeply concerned that the very people that requested for Parliament to be recalled failed to show up. Clearly, what we are seeing here is an abuse of the Constitution and the standing orders of Ghana's Parliament. The NPP minority caucus have indeed caused financial loss to the state and to us, the NDC members of Parliament, and to the people of Ghana. We turn up in our numbers to do what we have to do, only to find out that the very group of people that called us to consider government business, they have no business. So the truth out there is that there is no urgent government business. There is no urgent government business, and the government has no business. They have given up, they've checked out, and they want the election to be done as soon as possible so that they can leave office.
quite interesting development in the House. We'll hear from the majority leader shortly, but there's a strong push from some senior MPP MPs to cite a speaker for contempt of court, Kweku.
Yes, KT Hamon, I spoke to him. He was furious. He had actually just zoomed right to the chamber when the speaker had adjourned the House indefinitely. He was sweating. He was angry. And he said the Speaker of Parliament was simply playing to the gallery. And the speaker's conduct is an affront to the ruling of the Supreme Court, and is pushing to have Alban Bagbin dragged before the Supreme Court for contempt of court.
The speaker made a ruling. It was unconstitutional. It was unlawful. By any account, it was illegal. The Supreme Court, contrary to the assertion by he himself and some members of the minority who keep proclaiming from high roofs and high heaven that the parliament is a master of its own rules and regulations, the Supreme Court is told Babbing and parliament that you are not. There is an institution which is the master of the rules of parliament, and that this is what the law is, that you cannot make the decision, the proclamation that you made. I call it proclamation because he thinks he's a king, he's whatever, you know, he's a lord unto himself. But you made a ruling. It is not right. Supreme Court is telling you it is not right. Go back to that house. It will be the interest of Ghanaians for the speaker to respect the ruling of the Supreme Court. Come back to this side rather than continuously
again. Has not disrespected the
he is disrespecting the ruling of the Supreme Court.
You are not have been listening. Disallowed from
you are,
coming
you
in.
Are not, you are not listening. So even if he had 99, which is one third of what to form the quorum, it was for the speaker to make the announcement in the house that his ruling has been overset. Accordingly, minority, back to where you were, majority, back to where you have been. That is the simplest solution that we're talking about.
You say you're going to cite him for contempt.
Yes.
When are you doing this?
Watch the space.
Yes. I mean, finally, yes. The speaker says that the majority has failed to convene a business meeting yesterday.
You see,
so that they can put the business for this emergency.
I keep saying that first things first. Is for the speaker to declare in that house, the same way as cathedral. The orders of the Supreme Court were directed specifically to the speaker. It was the speaker, it wasn't the leadership, it wasn't the clerk, it wasn't the leadership which made that ruling or that decision. It was the Speaker of Parliament who unconstitutionally made the proclamation, whatever is it that he said the last time. The Supreme Court is told him that he was wrong. Restore matters to what they were
so
before you did that.
Line of action for the MPP.
Well, we will cite you for contempt. We will cite the speaker for contempt. Watch this face.
Well, we have been hearing from the majority leader address why his side, was not in the chamber, and he's been explaining.
Yes, according to Alexander Fenyomaken, they did not show up because the NDC MPs are taking their side. And he says the NDC MPs want chaos. And if they had come to the chamber and demanded their rightful seats, it would have been chaotic in the house. It would have been like the midnight of 7 January 2021 when Alban Bagbin was elected. And they are not ready to give in to Alban Bagbin and the NDC's want for a chaotic end to this 8th parliament. But they've also self-signaled that the indication that they're going to talk to Alban Bagbin. If he doesn't budge, they're going to get him or force him again to recall parliament, just like they did this time around.
Several other prominent Ghanaians who, for some good reasons, I would not want to mention their names, who had engaged speaker on this matter, had also reached out to us, the majority caucus, and assured us that Mrs. Speaker's engagement with them resulted in he admitting that indeed there was no such ruling, which ruling would now proclaim the NDC as a so-called new majority. Now, from the horse's own mouth, granted that all these prominent people misrepresented to us, the majority, yesterday, Mr. Speaker himself, in his press conference in the afternoon, enumerated a number of things. Among them, he said he had not made a ruling. He told the whole of the country that he had not made a ruling. So, if he claims that what he did was a formal communication, in response to a statement from the minority leader, then why is he supervising chaos in the House? What Mr. Speaker did today amount to supervising chaos and bringing the image of democracy to disrepute. The NDC minority members were all over claiming that we, the majority, did not attend a so-called business committee meeting that they called. Who are they? When did we constitute a new committee in Parliament? I chair the business committee of Parliament. And when the clerk to Parliament asked for the business committee meeting, I was very explicit that the subject matter of the recall, which was approved by Mr. Speaker, is a very matter for consideration. So there's no need to have another business committee.
This is Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel, Connecting Energies and Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Let me bring in the Deputy Majority Whip, Abibi Drusu, and also the MP for Tono into this discussion, and also the MP for Tamale Central and a member of the minority, Ibrahim Mutala Mohammed. Grateful to you, gentlemen, for coming up. Let me start with you, Abibi Drusu. You called for this meeting. Why did you fail to show up to prosecute the agenda for which you call, you made this meeting to be convened?
I think it's not a fact to say that we did not show up to this meeting. Normally, before Parliament sits, there are things that we normally do or meetings that normally happen. This morning, we were well aware that the Speaker had come into his office and he was supposed to have a meeting with the parliamentary service as they were going to conduct some interviews for some senior officers of parliament. I placed a call to the deputy clerk, Jethro, and I told him that we were in the caucus meeting, so if Speaker is heading to the chamber, he should let us know. And normally when Speaker, because we are now sitting at the conference center, when Speaker is heading towards the chamber, the leadership of them both sides are being called. Sometimes if we, the majority, are there, we reach out to our colleagues' leadership in the minority to come. We have a meeting with the Speaker, then we agree as to the business that we are going to do and some of the issues that we are to address. Today, that didn't happen. We were just heading towards the chamber. Myself, the deputy majority leader, Madam Patricia, the second deputy whip, Akontombra Alex, and then Honorable Kennedy Ajapon. Mm. Then before we could enter into the chamber, the Speaker was seated. And then the NDC, the minority group, were seated on the right hand of the Speaker. So we waited and he was just about to adjourn the House. So it is not true that we never turn out. The Speaker, as he already have in his mind, an agenda that is purely set up, and then he just went into the chamber to sit. How can a Speaker go and preside without engaging the leadership of the House? How can the Speaker go and preside without first of all discussing with the leader of the government business? The Speaker is not the leader of government business. He is not the majority leader, and he is not the one who's supposed to call out government business. So before he could go and preside, he needed to reach out, get his clerk at table to reach out to us in the majority. We come at conclave, we discuss the businesses that we were going to do, and then he could be able to sit. But before we realized, he was presiding without actually engaging the leadership.
But was your side really prepared for this meeting? I'm asking this because if you look at the standing order 47.4, it says, before the commencement of a sitting, the clerk shall send to each member the order paper stating the business of the day and the provisional order paper, which may be altered for the next sitting schedule. And of course, this order paper should be coming from the business committee, isn't it?
Yeah, this is not an ordinary parliament going on break and coming.
Mm.
This is a parliament that has been recalled, triggered by provisions in the Constitution. And we made it very clear the kind of business that we were going to do in the House. The memo that was sent to Speaker to trigger the callback of Parliament discuss with him into detail the kind of business that we were going to do. And when we remembered things that we were going to do extra, we added an extra memo, which he has approved. And even when he was going to Agenda House, he acknowledged that he has received those two memos that led to the calling of the House. So we were ready. And the majority leader, as you listen to him, he's the leader of government business and per outstanding orders. He's the chairman of the business committee. So the minority leader at Ufosun have no business to call for any business committee meeting. In any case, we haven't changed our committees. Neither did we say that this person is assuming the office of becoming the chairman of the business committee. And when the clerk of the business committee reached out to the majority leader, Honorable Afenyo Markins, he did indicate to him that we have sent a memo to the speaker. We told him the business that we are going to do. That same business is what is going to be put on the order paper. And that is it.
But
this is not a normal parliament coming back. This is a record triggered by the constitution.
But Habib, the business that you enumerated in that particular notice for recall was more than 16, right? I mean,
yes.
But all the 16 obviously cannot be dealt with in a day. That's why your order says, before the commencement of sitting, you shall provide that order paper stating the business of the day. So today, which of the items you enumerated was going to be dealt with, but you didn't provide that.
When you argue that, you will be wrong in principle, in the sense that this is not a normal sitting. It's a parliament being recalled. We can just have one day sitting, and that is it, when there's a recall. We can just have one day sitting. All what we have mentioned, if we come into the chamber, we agree, we start business, and we finish, what is our business still sitting? We will adjourn. So the most important thing was to the effect that the speaker has been notified the business that we were going to do, was to the effect that the chairman of the business committee, who is the majority leader, had notified the clerk of the business committee that these are the businesses and put it in the order paper. So definitely it doesn't matter where we were going to sit for a day or two. And if you follow parliamentary proceedings very well, you see an order paper that had over 160 items listed in there. You do what you can do, what you cannot do, then they'll transfer it to the next day. Okay. But this sitting was going to be very short because we have already indicated the business that we were going to do. And if those businesses were able to be done today, we would have adjourned again.
Let me stay with me. Let me bring in Ibrahim Murtala Mohammed. Ibrahim, I'm grateful to you for joining us here.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, the Supreme Court has asked for the status quo to be maintained. So the NPP group in parliament should be majority. The NDC group should be minority. If you continue to occupy that majority side, aren't you being in contempt of court?
Well, first and foremost, parliament is not an extension of the Supreme Court. And I would urge my brother Habib and Afenyo to go and read the writings of John Locke, Professor Montesquieu, to have an appreciation of what constitutes separation of powers, checks and balances. Mm-hmm. Parliament, Supreme Court has an exclusive right to interpret law. The purpose for which Afenyo Markins went to court was not to interpret laws. It was to give directive as to how Parliament conducts its business. The Supreme Court doesn't have the capacity to direct Parliament as to how Parliament conducts its business. That's the first point. And two, I would pardon my brother Habib, because this is his first time in Parliament. But for Honorable Afenyo Markins, and Habib reiterated the same, on the matter of why they did not participate in the business committee meeting, for me, it's either they are pretending or they are simply ignorant as to the reason why the business committee sits. Afenyo Markins says that the reason why they refuse to participate in the business committee is because the people of this country are well aware the purpose for which this recall is made. And Habib retreated same. Let me be very clear. Why the business statement is the business committee ought to have sat is to build consensus. It's for both houses, that is the minority and the majority, to agree on the agenda for the business or the program. There are instances where government comes with its own business. And when they went to have the business committee meeting, they make amendments. And some instances, certain things are completely expunged. So that is one.
But Murtala, I think we get you. But again, who calls that meeting? Is it a majority leader or the minority leader?
No. But let me just if you allow me to land, because I listened to him. You allowed him to make some of his points, I would urge you to just allow me flow so that you can get what the drift I want to arrive at. It is not the majority that calls for business committee to meet. The responsibility of business committee is a joint responsibility, including the speaker. The majority or minority alone cannot come and sit in the chamber. The purpose for the business committee is to look at the program for the sitting, and there must be a consensus as to what you all agree to discuss. Even though business is a business of government, but you need to have the business committee to sit so that you agree that these are the issues you are going to take. That's one. Two, even the arrangement of the agenda or the programs, it must be done in order of preference. Habib said that there are business committee other papers that had about 100, 150.
Yeah.
It should give us evidence of one other paper that has up to 100, you know, items on it. One, that is utterly not true. The other reason is that members of parliament must be communicated to as to what they are coming to parliament to do. And that communication is done through the other paper. Members of parliament must be communicated to. So if you know the reason why we are supposed to sit, members of parliament ought to be officially communicated to, and that communication is done through the other paper. Another very important reason why they have to sit, there have been a lot of instances where government itself will come and amend the business for which parliament is recalled. Today, when we went into the chamber, the speaker in the first place, you, the MPP, triggered Article 1123 of the 1992 Constitution and Standing Order 53. You triggered it. You failed to participate in the business committee.
Okay.
Then we go to the chamber.
Okay.
Article 102 of the 1992 Constitution is very clear. You need a quorum to start parliamentary sittings, but a quorum to take business is completely different from the quorum to have, you know, parliamentary programs or sitting started.
Okay.
Today, Honorable Habib is saying, and he's telling everybody, that they were about entering the chamber when the speaker made his ruling. That is utterly not true. When the speaker adjourned, I was in the chamber for about 40 to 50 minutes. On my way back to Job 600, when I saw Honorable Habib and Co. now leaving Job 600, and asked him whether he denied. I had a discussion with him there.
Okay.
So
all
for
right.
him to come and say that they were about entering the chamber and then the speaker had adjourned, that is utterly not true.
Okay, all right. Habib, let me just take a minute from you. Now, they are accusing you of causing financial loss to the state. How do you respond to that? Because everybody would go like, you called for this, but you were not there to really prosecute the business for which you called this meeting.
I think that is completely out of space. And then for my senior brother, Honorable Mutala, he's my senior brother. So sometimes when I'm talking to him, I'm a bit candid. I had entered the chamber before I returned to my office. And after going for our press conference, when I met him on the way. And he understand the fact that I understand. Even though he sits behind me in parliament, and when I involve myself in certain discussions, he might not appreciate it. If there is somebody who has done anything wrong today, it is the minority group and the speaker. They are in contempt of the constitution. The same,
oh, really?
And see, when Honorable Mutala said myself and my majority leader should go and look at the separation of powers, the simple question is that you're talking about parliament, separation of power. Where is parliament driving its authority from? Is it not the same constitution that is giving parliament that authority? Is it not the same constitution that is giving parliament the exclusivity that you are trying to say? And why is it that the same constitution where the Supreme Court have been given original jurisdiction in interpreting things, then parliament want to say that Supreme Court cannot do it well?
Okay.
And mind you, today the speaker who presided over today's sitting is in contempt of the constitution, because if you read the constitution very well,
okay.
In Article 2, 3 and 4, it is stated clearly in the constitution that any person or group of persons to whom an order or direction is addressed under clause 2 of this constitution by the Supreme Court shall duly obey and carry out the terms of the order of or direction.
Okay.
And it says in 4 that failure to obey or carry out the terms of order or direction made or given under clause 2 of this article constitute a high crime and under the constitution, and shall in the case of the president and the vice president, constitute a grant for removal from office.
Okay.
Under this constitution.
Okay. Habib, let me bring in Martin Pebu, who is a private legal practitioner. Mr. Pebu, I'm grateful to you for joining us. Is the speaker in contempt of the Supreme Court? Hi. Is the speaker in contempt of the Supreme Court?
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Pebu, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm asking, is the speaker in contempt of the Supreme Court?
I don't see it at all. You see, the irony is, you see Habib, who is making a lot of noise today. You know, there's a case pending against Habib in the Supreme Court that he stole whilst he was in Australia, so he's not fit to be a member of parliament. Over a year now, that case has not been heard. So this crisis we had had always been coming to the Supreme Court because cases affecting even Habib's eligibility of being an MP has been stalled in the Supreme Court over a year. I think 2 years now.
No, it's I don't know what time for you to call it.
Well, okay. So we're not making this about... Lawyer, we're not making this about Habib. We want what the law says. Habib read what the Constitution says, and we wanted to get the education. Whether or not, in fact, by the actions of the Speaker, he is in contempt of the Supreme Court. I think that we've had some very good education. I'm grateful to you, gentlemen, for joining us here on Top Story, brought to you by Telecel and Holy Insect Spray and Coil. Coming up next is Newsnight.